podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Payload. This is an Overwatch podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. This is episode 21, and let's just get into it. I have a really special guest I'm so happy to have here. It is Patrick Beja. You should probably know him from a couple other podcasts out there. The Instance, This Week in Tech, and specifically for Overwatch, the Overwatchers over at amove.tv. Patrick, it's really awesome to have you here. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing awesome. I'm playing the beta. I'm guesting on a show I've been listening to for a long time. It's wonderful. Life is great.
Yeah, that is awesome. And Kevin, how are you doing, man? It's great to have you on the show, as always.
I'm good, man. Yeah. It's been a kind of a wild ride this last little while. It seems like every week one of us has been away. There's been something crazy going on, but super thrilled to have Patrick here with us this week to talk about the game and all the cool stuff that's going on while we've got all of the interesting things happening. Open beta in full force right now, which is awesome. And I know we're going to talk about that a little later. So I just want to get started talking about all this crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, so let's hit the news right now.
This week in Overwatch.
Another week, another new comic out from Blizzard. This time it is titled Going Legit, and once again it was released shortly before we went live, and this time it is going over Junkrat and, why did I space on the name? Kevin, help me. Okay. Roadhog.
You got it.
Yeah. It was really a really different feeling for the comic than the last two. Patrick, have you had a chance to check it out, and if so, what'd you think of it?
Yeah, I did read it. I'm in Japan, so basically I woke up and checked Reddit, and it was like, oh, there's a new comic. Quick, let's read it before I jump on Skype to do the show. It's okay. The comics are definitely not as great as the animated shorts. I think they're nice. I think the goal of the comics is really to sort of show you a slice of life, a typical slice of life of the that displays the characters of the characters they're showcasing. And I'm starting to understand what they're trying to do with these, and certainly in this one as well, it sort of explains to you what these two characters are in, what is it, 7-8 pages, and what they're about, you know, their core characteristics. And in that sense, I think it succeeds. I think the Reinhardt comic that you talked about last week, I believe, was actually, I really liked it too, because we can get into it if you want after. But I think in that sense, it succeeds. It shows you what these characters care about, what they are, what they in just a few pages. So it was okay.
What do you think, Kevin?
Honestly, I obviously had stronger feelings than everybody else did last year with the Reinhardt one. I actually really liked this one. I felt like it was a little bit more of an interesting story, told you a little bit more. You got a better flavor for both Junkrat and Roadhog. I do kind of feel bad that they're so tied together and that you don't get any individual personality between them, really, because that story is told as one all the time, and that's okay.
The Roadhog personality would probably be relatively boring in comic form.
Yeah. He
basically goes
there is an element of that, absolutely. But I actually really like the visual styling on this one a lot better. I felt like there was just more variety, a better color palette, everything. Like, it was such a cool visual representation of all the different locations they were going, and there's a lot more going on in this one. And I think I just will echo what we've said since the very first week that the first one came out for McCree, which was, I want to see them in print. Like, I want to see how these would look as a physical collection, because I think that's where they're really going to shine, is for people who want to enjoy the comics in that medium, right? It's tough to really appreciate it online because it's not being done as a traditional web comic. It's not being done in that paneled style. It looks like it belongs in something that I could sit and leaf through, and that has new comic smell, right? I want it to show up in the mail from Amazon. So
I'd be shocked if we don't see some sort of collection later on of all these comic shorts here, and because they're really good. I mean, they're a little small to be, I think, their own comics a little bit, because the comics that do come out, they, I think they're about this length, but they have a ton of ads on it to kind of take up more space, and I don't see Blizzard doing longer. That.
No, it's a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Usually the comics are about 20 pages, 22 pages. These ones are just, what, 8, 9?
Yeah.
I think they would keep them as promotional material. Maybe they're going to distribute some at BlizzCon, although they don't need to promote the game to people who go to BlizzCon. but the McCree one was printed and given out at PAX, right? So maybe that's the kind of thing they're going to do.
I assume that's the vision long-term, is that they want to have, because they Overwatch, more so than any of the other franchises at this point, is a multimedia franchise, right? The digital shorts, I assume, eventually will probably be part of a long-term, like, purchasable package, the way that traditionally when you buy the collector's edition of one of the other games, it would come with a soundtrack and a making of DVD and little inserts. There was a physical comic that came, I think, in the StarCraft? Was it the Wings of Liberty?
Yeah,
the Wings of Liberty collection.
It was like
a physical printed comic.
I think it was Volume Zero or something like that.
Right, and I have no idea if there was any kind of follow-up, but I know it's something they kind of like dabbled in previously.
But
and
they, I think yeah, they have plans for an actual comic for Overwatch, a printed physical mm-hmm. one that's right. going to come out at some point. That's different from the digital ones
okay. from this series. Yeah, so I think there's probably going to be more of this stuff coming. Whether it's more animated shorts, more online comics, more physical comics, like this is a franchise that's already heavily diversified from being just a video game and just a PC game, because that's also been a big eye-opening thing with Blizzard, is getting their stuff out onto mobile with Hearthstone and now console with Overwatch. So I'm looking forward to seeing more.
Yeah, most definitely. And I really enjoyed this comic. It was very different from the previous two, so go check it out. But speaking of that Reinhardt comic, I actually came across this today. There's this company called Madefire Studios, and they put out that Reinhardt comic onto their DeviantArt page, madefirestudios.deviantart.com. I absolutely recommend checking it out, putting some headphones on and rereading that comic, because they put in some motion graphics and audio into it, and it just becomes significantly more impactful reading through it than it did the first time through for me. I mean, there's obviously the music from Overwatch, which is already just incredible, and you have a lot of the just audio from the game, Reinhardt's punches and swings of his weapon and stuff like that. I don't know if either of you guys were able to check that out. I know I literally just found out a bit before the show. But if you have, do you have any thoughts?
No, I haven't. I haven't checked it out. I just clicked on it now because I saw it somewhere on Reddit and thought, yeah, whatever. But I just clicked on it now, and already there's the music mm-hmm. playing. It feels so, you're right, very impactful. So I'm saving it. I'm gonna reread it later. But can I say one thing about the comic in general?
Absolutely.
The Reinhardt comic. That I think it's been very. There's something everyone I've listened to has missed in this comic, and it's one thing that makes me like it a little bit more. I think this comic is all about one panel in the entire piece, in the entire issue, and it informs you about Reinhardt's character immensely, and that justifies for me the quality of the entire comic. It's that one panel where he is taking on the group of, what are they called, the dragons, mm-hmm. or, you know, and he sees an actual dragon with, you know, the knights on, they're actually on bikes, but he sees them on horses with armors and stuff like that. And in that panel, you see that. You see the giant dragon spreading its wings and the knights coming at him. And at first, I didn't really understand what it was. But then, you know, after you see, I thought it was an actual dragon in the world of Overwatch. I was like, what the hell is happening? But then you see he's fighting them and they're just the regular people on bikes. So that one panel just shows you what he sees when he's going into battle. And he's like almost, it seems, you know, you don't know if he's over enthusiastic or plainly delusional, but that is how he sees the battles, and that justifies everything he says in the game. You know, he's like, you know, when he goes like, "Ah, there's glory to be had. What is with all this standing around?" And you know, all of this. This enthusiasm he puts into like almost medieval way he looks at the fights. So for me, that frame, that one panel made me love the comic entirely. And I've never seen it mentioned in any of the discussions about it. So just wanted to
yeah. talk about it. No, you point that out and I didn't really think about that too much. I kind of just saw that and was like, okay, there's a dragon. And I didn't really realize that there wasn't actually a dragon there,
right?
That was in Reinhardt's vision or whatever. So that's a great point and something I had not really thought too much on, even though I've read through it a couple times now. Kevin, yeah. what do you think of that? You have any thoughts?
I mean, I definitely noticed it. It's just, yeah, it didn't leap out to me quite as definitively about what that would say about his character. For what it's worth, though, on the subject of the motion comic, I did get a chance to sort of have a gander through it. I think it would have been neat to have some kind of voiceover is the only thing that it felt like it maybe missed, which is obviously very difficult because everyone has such a clear indication of what those characters should sound like because they've all got very, very well done voice actors for the core characters, at least. But that's what I was kind of expecting and didn't get from it. But the Reinhardt comic was, I think, a really great one. And done this way, it does. It feels a lot more impactful. You get a way more like concise feel of the story, even with simple things like some zoom effects and the occasional like beep as they push a button on a panel or something. Like it was just enough to give it a little more depth and make me feel like I was slightly more engaged in what was going on. And that's not to discredit the art, which was incredible, or anything else. I just wasn't the hugest fan of the Reinhardt story because it didn't have the same compelling depth to me and the same variety and, you know, design characterization that the other ones we've seen have had. So that was a very cool way to give it some breathe some new life into it.
Yeah, most definitely. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the beta. It's an open beta now. It's exciting. There's so many new people able to get in and experience Overwatch, and it's kind of obvious if you've been in the beta for a while, you've kind of learned things about certain heroes. You see other people haven't learned those things quite yet, so it makes it, yep. It's a very new experience for a lot of people. If you're not familiar with the details, it is open right now on PC and consoles, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, ends May 9th. Make sure you check it out and see if you are interested in buying this game. I've already had a couple of people who I know were kind of on the fence about it play it and absolutely have fallen in love with this game. It's definitely one of those games you kind of look at it and you think, oh, it's a generic shooter maybe, but you play it and that's when you see the depth of the game. I've gotten to play a little bit and it's been really fun. I'm trying to play a bit more out of my comfort zone. I'm playing a lot more Tracer, who I'm trying to learn to be good at, but the skill cap is so high for her. Kevin, have you had a chance to play? I know you've been super busy, but have you gotten to sneak in a game or two here?
A couple, not as many as I would like. My project for this week, if I find time between now and Monday when the open beta is over, is to make a specific and separate point of downloading it on my Xbox, because I've got plenty of hours logged on PC. I feel good about my PC pre-order. I will be at the store on release day trying to snag a copy of the collector's edition because that's what I do. But I for sure would like to just see how it plays on console. I know that having not been able to be at PAX East this year, which was the first chance anybody had outside of Blizzard's walls to play it on console, the feedback I heard was largely good. But I just specifically would like to try it myself, because if I'm going to be cajoling my friends into playing this game, which I am, it's more likely that I'm going to be able to get them to buy into it on console, because everybody I know has a PS4 or an Xbox One sitting at home, and they're all plenty likely to replace that with the next generation of whatever down the road. That's really not a huge debate in the circle of people that I know, but a lot of them maybe don't have a gaming PC that will run the game smoothly or have all of the necessary peripherals to really appreciate and enjoy it that way. So I just want to know what it feels like on console so that I can firsthand say, all right, I've played it on Xbox for a couple of days, you know, sat around on a Friday night, blowing kids up and really enjoyed it. So this is my recommendation. And that's my project while this thing is in open beta. So till Monday.
So on that, I did actually play a little bit on PS4.
What did you think?
And I, I really like it, but the controls are something I'm going to have to get used to. It's very difficult because, as you know, Pharah is my favorite hero. It's hard trying to hold the jetpack and shoot and aim all at the same time, so I have to figure out maybe a different button configuration would work better for me. I just eventually settled down on Soldier 76, and I was like, well, that's the generic shooter kind of character. And for some reason, as I was playing, I totally forgot that not everyone has run, and I was like trying to figure out how to run, because I guess that's like my automatic response to a console shooter is find the run button, so I run faster. And then I remembered it was only on Soldier 76. So yeah, that was my experience on PS4 so far. Patrick, how has your experience in the open beta been?
So, you know, I'm one of those people that usually gets this smirk on their face when people talk about FPSs on consoles. But I've actually played Destiny quite a bit on my PS4. So I understand that it can be totally playable, but I think it's different if you started playing on PC and then go to the console. You're completely lost, and it is much more difficult to handle. But if you start on console, I think you're going to be fine. It's not going to be, the controls are not going to be as refined. I think it's going to be okay. But on the subject of the open beta in general, I would completely echo what you've been saying, Jimmy. It's completely incredible how much you don't realize how much you've progressed in the game. And when you look at the new players coming in, you know, it's like looking at, you know, someone running against the wall over and over again, and you want to look at them and tell them, no, just turn around just a little bit, there's a path right there. And complete, you know, I'm not saying this as a, I'm not criticizing anyone. It's just, we were all doing exactly that when we first started, but it's just, we didn't realize how much we learned about the game. So I have to imagine the developers at Blizzard looking at the first wave of beta and going like, oh my God, I wonder how they're going to be doing. And looking at us doing these ridiculous things and going like, holy crap, they're really bad. So, you know, but it's beginners. It's obviously they have to learn, and we all did. And so I try to refrain from telling everyone what to do, which I'm really fond of. Usually I'm like, oh, you should do this and let's do that. But, you know, and I've been sort of amused by all of this. And it's surprising how little communication there is as well. I'm wondering if that's going to be the case going forward. In the days, the olden days of the closed beta, everyone was talking a lot more. And now I'm guessing people are getting their bearings. They're sort of worrying about, you know, the 15 million things happening on the screen already, and the maps they don't know, and the characters they don't know how to control. So they don't really have time for discussion on top of that and strategizing. So, but yeah, it's surprising. No one is discussing anything. I've not even seen chat, not let alone voice chat, but just chat. So we'll see how it evolves.
I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, I actually think that's one place where console will shine, because everybody playing on console almost always has the standard headset that goes with the consoles, because they've made that such a core part of the console experience across a variety of games and genres, where having a good PC gaming headset or PC microphone and like headphones, that's not necessarily a given. A lot of people don't necessarily keep that kind of equipment with their PCs. So there's probably arguments to be made either way. While, though, we're on the subject of open beta, there are a couple things we wanted to just mention news-wise, because they're different from the closed beta. So there was a really good post on Overking, for those of you who are familiar with the XAM network, it's their Overwatch site, covering a couple of key takeaways during the open beta itself. Today, Blizzard held their first quarter investors call and said they have had millions of people already get in on the open beta, so the demand was certainly there. But key notes to take away were, number one, competitive play has been disabled. So the competitive play mode is turned off during open beta. They've got some stuff they're trying to work on to tweak it in preparation for live launch. And the settings weren't going to be something they could change in time, I guess, between when they took down the closed beta and when they brought up the open beta. So the rework should be an improvement is what they're saying. But for now, no competitive.
Just so we're precise, I'm pretty sure they said that it's not going to be in for launch either.
Right.
It's going to be implemented, sometime after launch. So no competitive at launch.
Right. And hopefully that's not a long turnaround or wait, because I know that that's one of the things that people were clamoring the loudest for during the closed beta. Second note, there is going to be a full wipe at the end of the open beta. So anything that you unlock for skins, rewards, levels, stats, etc., all of which you can experiment with during the beta, will be wiped from your account. So there's no carry forward of any kind like there was in the Heroes of Storm or Hearthstone betas. So there's not going to be anything you can take with you into the live game. I know we've talked about this in the past, Jimmy, but Patrick, how do you feel about that? Do you think that's a good decision on Blizzard's part?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. The two other games you mentioned were very different because they were basically they are free to play, and so they invited many, many, many people in the open betas for those games, and the launch was really just announcing that it was now live. It was people played for a lot longer. They bought stuff that they built their decks around and characters, you know, their teams around and heroes. Here it's just cosmetic stuff. It's fine. No one's gonna care all that much. I mean, yes, it would be nice to keep the skins you have bought, but no, I don't think it's a big deal because the game is not free to play and the beta population was more limited, and because it doesn't affect gameplay.
One thing I noticed in this beta is if you go into the loot boxes, is there's no button now there to buy loot boxes. It's like not even grayed out or anything. It just doesn't exist from what I remember seeing. And I know in earlier betas they had it there but grayed out, and they were talking about how that was going to be something people could buy going forward. Do you think this is still something that they're going to have potentially at launch, or is this something that they're just kind of quietly doing away with?
Could go either way, honestly. I don't know that the game needs it, and I think that giving people the ability to buy their way into cosmetics is obviously lucrative for them, but I don't think it's going to have a bottom line impact on the quality of the game or anyone's play experience. I don't know that I personally would spend any money on Overwatch cosmetics. I don't think it's something I would bother with. But I mean, I'm not the target audience for that stuff in the first place. I bought no skins in Heroes of the Storm. I don't buy stuff during Steam sales. I'm like the one person on the planet who doesn't blow their entire wallet during the Steam sales. So it's not my thing. I imagine there are people out there who, given the choice, would walk in that first day and drop $100 on all the stuff they want to show off in the game. But a part of me likes the idea that maybe it's not going to be transactional and you are going to have to earn that by playing the game.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, I thought I was going to spend a lot of money on it when it first started, but then I've been playing so much that between the duplicates and the credits you get in the loot boxes, I could buy anything I wanted. I think for people who aren't spending hours and hours on the game, it could be nice to have the option to put a little bit more money into the loot boxes, but they mentioned it in passing months ago, and there hasn't been any other mention of this since. They might not want to put it into the open beta so that people don't start even discussing it. You know, it's not the kind of thing you want discussed when you're trying to promote the game in a positive way and with positive discussions. There might be people who, I don't know, don't want to have to pay anything on top of the entry price, and then they're going to sneak it in when the game launches. They could also, as you're saying, they could also just do away with it. I can imagine they still want, you know, if it's going to make a little bit more money, given how conservative they've been with that, with the plans for the game until now, it's something that is not controversial. I could imagine they would bring it back.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that makes sense. There's a few other things, guys. You can find the post in the show notes. The only other one I was going to call out specifically is Jeff Kaplan and Tim Ford, one of the lead engineers on Overwatch, did make a post about left-handed settings for the console versions of the game. Apparently, the console beta, when it launched, did not have any options for stick switching or anything for people who are left-hand dominant. And in the span of hours after that post went up, Jeff Kaplan took to the thread and was like, oh, okay, we totally missed that. We'll fix it. No big deal. And Tim Ford has been asking about some specific questions about how people might want to see that implemented in terms of how things would behave in menus versus in the game. So it's just a testament, like we've seen all the way through the entire beta process and really the entirety of the development cycle of Overwatch, that they're listening so actively to the feedback. Like, 5 posts into a forum thread same day, the lead game designer is like, oh, duh, yeah, okay, no big deal, we got you. And it's been that way all the time. So I'm really thrilled to see that. I think that basically covers the major issues and patch stuff that's occurring during open beta. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to weigh in on there?
I don't think so. Just that Blizzard is very good about getting on top of these things. I mean, on one hand, it's like, oh, they should have seen this beforehand, but them seeing that in the span of a couple of hours, being like, okay, we see this, we forgot, we screwed up, we're gonna fix it, and there we go. Patrick, I cut you off there. What do you want to chime
in? Oh, no worries. It's very surprising how active they've been and how active Kaplan has been in this whole process. I mean, everyone, you know, if we remember back when the beta first started, there were so many questions and so much controversy about, you know, are the characters going to be, is it going to be a free to play? Are you going to have to pay for additional characters after the game launches, all of that? And now all of these have been addressed. So it's a really positive way of handling the community. And the only other thing I'd say is I was surprised there were no balance changes for the open beta. It's not that surprising, but I thought they would put a couple of them if they wanted to change a few things. But I guess they're really focused on stability and all of that. Makes me wonder if this is absolutely 100% the state of the game when it's going to launch. I guess maybe it is. We're not going to see any balance changes at all.
I don't think they're going to touch it, honestly, until they start to see some really, really high level feedback during actual competitive level play. That's the same basic strategy they've taken, I would say, in most of their games. You see balance changes and iterative changes during testing. They get to kind of a state they're happy with, and then stuff emerges, things are identified generally by the highest level players who are able to point to small inconsistencies in, you know, issues with tiny different scaling things to do with damage or lines of sight on particular maps. All of the issues that were identified in that way were generally not issues that were identified by volume of play. The open beta, in my mind, is very much just a stress test. At this point, they're not worried about trying frantically to get specific things tweaked on specific characters. They're trying to crash the servers repeatedly, and then they'll take this version of the game live and look to feedback based on high-level play after the game has got a broader audience and a few days, weeks, months of testing in the actual live environment. So yeah, I think that's that.
Yeah, and I did want to squeeze something in that I forgot to put in the show notes, but my girlfriend in chat reminded me of this, that Coke is doing a promotion with some of the cinemas in the U.S. called Cinemark, and they're looking to kind of crowdfund at a couple theaters. If you get 100 people to buy tickets to it, they'll be showing a lot of the digital shorts on the big screen, and also a Q&A by the Overwatch devs. And that's on the broadcast for that is Sunday, May 22nd. So I'm wondering if there's some sort of event that night for Overwatch. But I did put the link in chat, and it looks like, yeah, it's a US only thing. Sorry to my co-host and my guest, but, put the link in chat, make sure to check it out. We're really pushing hard to get one near us, so hopefully we'll be able to see that. And yeah, that was just that. But I think even bigger news, though, is the announcement of the first post-launch tournament for Overwatch. We're going to have a tournament at the Esports Arena in Santa Ana, California, called Agents Rising. Saturday, May 28th, and Sunday, May 29th, $10,000 prize pool. And the casters are Ask Joshy, Fishsticks, T-Squared, and Jamerson. And I am really excited for this. I might have to head down there and check it out. But what do you guys think of this being the first tournament right out of the gate here? A $10,000 prize pool is pretty good for a game that really hasn't been tested yet, Kevin.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all. I think this is probably the fate of competitive Overwatch in the short term, is that we're going to have to see some of these moderate scale events put on by third parties get a feel for who's out there playing the game at a competitive level, which organizations that have been talking the big talk about putting together competitive Overwatch squads actually follow through and do put teams together. There's been a few that have been announced that have been really impressive. I believe it was earlier this week, actually, that Going Rogue picked up a really good looking Overwatch squad officially. So, I mean, there's definitely a few out there. I guess we'll see, right? Because this is still not at the level where there's going to be huge money to cover transportation for teams that have won international tournaments or qualifiers. Like, we just don't have the infrastructure yet because it's such a new title. And my guess is we won't see that right away out the gate. This will be very similar to how Blizzard and anybody else's early competitive cycles have worked, where other people are fronting money, putting on smaller tournaments, trying to build some interest. Overwatch is going to have a competitive scene. There's no doubt in my mind, but it really probably won't get wings until we see what Blizzard is going to throw out for BlizzCon this year, because you have to be totally categorically insane and not taking any of your meds if you think that there's not going to be a massive Overwatch tournament at BlizzCon this year.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be, there's going to be something. And I think that's what's going to start the official esports life of Overwatch. They're going to have some kind of an invitational at BlizzCon, and then at possibly at the same time or a little bit before, announce the structure of the competition, the official competition for the year that's going to start after BlizzCon, because obviously we always have the finals for all their esports at BlizzCon itself. This one is interesting, though. I mean, there are some, it's interesting to see the familiar names of the Overwatch scene starting to become familiar, and we're seeing a few of them there. And the other thing is the $10,000 prize pool is the limit where Blizzard has to approve the tournament. I don't know if they actually went out to Blizzard and got it approved, but you can do basically anything you want if you follow a few community guidelines for a tournament below $10,000 for any of their games. But if you reach the $10,000 prize pool, you have to get it approved by Blizzard. So I'm curious if they did in this case, since they started organizing it before the game even launched.
I would imagine so. Esports Arena, they've been around for a little bit now, and I've actually gone down there and casted a couple of Heroes of the Storm tournaments there. So I think they have a good relationship with Blizzard. I would assume so, based on the events they've ran in the past. They actually went and casted a TESPA collegiate event there, so, and that was a lot of fun. Esports Arena, I know, Patrick, you might not be familiar with this facility, but it's basically a mix of a PC, what do you call them? PC bangs, like
like
cyber in Korea. Yeah, the cyber cafe, and also, but it has facilities on hand to handle broadcast level production quality for tournaments. So this will be something really cool to check out. And if you're in the area, I definitely would recommend swinging by, because Esports Arena is a really cool place to just watch tournament and hang out and meet fellow gamers. So this will be something interesting to see. And, but look at the price for teams, $150 to enter this. Do you think that might be a deterrent for anybody? I mean, that is split between, what, six people? So maybe.
I don't think the cost is a problem. No. Yeah. I mean, that's $25 a head is nothing. I think the biggest deterrent in this, like with anything esports related, is location, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm not already a California local, getting out to an event like this for a prize pool that's not enormous and at an event that isn't going to be subsidizing travel or accommodation in any way, probably not going to happen. So this is not going to be who's the best in the world at Overwatch. This is going to be who's the best in like southwestern U.S. mm-hmm. area in Overwatch.
Yeah. So. And the other thing I really like about this, and if you take a look at the rule set, if there's a tie at the end of the series, the winner is determined by a single round capture the hill, capture point map. And I absolutely love that, because that really, it's kind of the most even way to really determine that. And I feel like the King of the Hill maps are the most exciting of the maps from what I've been playing.
Well, it's difficult to get a more symmetrical thing, right? I mean, they could do it in best of two, best of three. But if you have a tie, you're not going to go back into, you know, payload or control or something like that. You have to do it quickly if it's a sudden death kind of thing. So they really don't have a choice. It has to be the King of the Hill, right?
Yeah, most definitely. And one other thing I really want to talk about, this is going to be more open discussion just about Overwatch at all. What should new players be looking out for in the game? I wanted to start off with something that I didn't even realize people were not aware is in the game, but there's a kill feed in the game. You have to go into the options and turn it on specifically. And this light should have came on for me when I played the PS4 version, because I just automatically went to the options, saw what was there, saw that the kill feed wasn't on, turned it on, and thought nothing of it. Forgetting that it's not on by default. So that is something a couple of people have mentioned to me. They had no clue that there was a kill feed in this game. And I think people coming from other shooters will really appreciate knowing that there's a kill feed, because having that information at hand is so vital in knowing if you can push a point versus do I need to play more defensive. Kevin, I know you had something in the show notes you wanted to talk about along this side. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of people who are touching the game for the first time right now. And if you're not someone who got to have that closed beta experience, and this week is your first sample of the incredible thing that Overwatch is. Overwatch is a game that I think for a lot of people who are coming into it, assuming because they've heard the term shooter thrown around, that it's a first person shooter and they can play it like it's Call of Duty, like it's Destiny, are going to be in for a bit of a rude awakening. The biggest thing that people have to keep in mind is that all of Overwatch, the entire concept of Overwatch, is it's basically a team-based game. And so as tempting as it is to play it like it's a traditional shooter and find that spot where you can get a couple of clever sniper headshots or just run in guns blazing with your favorite character that you think does the most damage, that's not actually going to be how you win games. And I think those kinds of people will probably more or less filter themselves out of the Overwatch ecosystem in the short term as the game launches and they realize that they're not enjoying it because they're losing all the time. But you need to be picking up the game, going into it heads up with the understanding that it's a game that needs to be played with every role and all of the intricacies that go with that in mind. You have to play this like a game of soccer. You need offense, you need defense, you need a goalie, like you need people playing their positions. So when you're learning the game, my best advice to people is, because you need to be able to do any of those things, pick a character from each class, each category, and learn them. Start with one of each, work your way through them, make sure that you know how to play. You know, your choice of DPS character, like Jimmy, would go straight to Pharah. Make sure you're comfortable with at least one of the supports. I would say probably Lucio has the least barrier to entry once you learn how his buttons work. And then find yourself a tank that you're comfortable playing, like a Reinhardt. And just know each of those roles and what your job is when you're playing that role. Because as tempting as it is to be the person who gets the four or five player multi-kill or gets that one really cool headshot that you're going to make a highlight out of and post on your Twitter account, like, that's not how games are going to be won or lost. And I think that fundamental to the whole experience is getting past the point where you're worried about your own performance and starting to think about what you're contributing to your team. So that would be what I would say, is if you're new to the game, please don't go into the game trying to be the hero. The world does need more heroes, but it needs you to work as a team.
Yeah, Patrick, what are your thoughts on new players coming into this game as the open beta is obviously happening and the launch coming up very soon?
So, I could... Do you have an extra hour?
We could be here all night.
Don't encourage that.
I'd say, first of all, about the kill feed, I'm going to disagree with you, Jimmy. I think it's not the first thing people should worry about. I think there are a couple of things, a couple of types of players that are going to be going into Overwatch. There are players that are already familiar with FPSs, and yes, maybe those people are going to benefit from the kill feed, but a lot of players are going to be Blizzard gamers that are completely new to the genre and who are already incredibly confused by everything that's happening and the classes and the teams and the characters and the abilities, and they don't need to be told add an extra thing to keep track of on the screen. I think this would be do more harm than good for real beginners. for the, that's just, you know, my opinion. But for the team play, I think I agree a little bit more. I think I would put it another way, though. I would say worry about the objective. Like, yes, it's good to kill enemies, but your first priority is that the objective is being accomplished. And that plays into the, you know, it's kind of a different way of saying the same thing, what you were saying, Kevin. And because I've seen so many games where the players were not even on the payload, they were just going off and being the hero, as you put it, but just really saying the objective is what you should be worrying about. Is as long as you do something, as you kill stuff that is in service of the objective, it's fine, but keep that in mind. I think my own personal advice would be a lot more pragmatic. I think the first thing people encounter when they start the game from scratch is Bastion and Torbjorn and defense.
Oh god. Yeah. We're gonna do this. Okay.
This all was right. Episode one, right? We Fine. Were like, no, yeah, no, Bastion's terrible. No, go for it.
All of this has happened before, all of this will happen again.
Exactly. I think that's, you know, that's the experience everyone is having when you and it's funny, I was looking at your faces. At least I can see Kevin on Skype. It's like when you say Bastion and Torbjorn, everyone laughs, you know, everyone who's had a little bit of time with the game starts laughing because they've been there and we've all been there. So I think telling people how to counter those initially super cheesy characters is super important. And so I would say, you know, snipers are good to counter those. Pharah is excellent to counter those. Genji, he's a little bit difficult to play, but Genji is good to counter Bastion, especially with his reflect. So those maybe three characters should help you get past that initial sticking point. And then the other thing is, if you're really stuck at the choke point, you all know that there's a choke point, or maybe the defense team is camping your spawn point and you can't even get out of the spawn point easily because you're trying to kill them. In either of those cases, just bypass everything. Just take a character that can fly over or just teleport or do something and go to the point, go to the objective, and don't worry about all of the defense that's set up, because if they're really set up with a lot of characters that are static defense, they're going to have a hard time. They're going to take a little bit longer to get back to the point that's a little bit farther out. So again, I don't remember how many times I've captured a point, or, you know, a third of a point or two thirds of a point alone, because I just bypassed everything, didn't try to kill anyone, just went to the point and sat there while they were, you know, the defense was having fun camping the attack spawn. So, those would be my, you know, super low level, like really the beginning advice. I think that's the most frustrating thing.
Let's break this down. If you're a new player to this team-based, objective-based shooter, you should play as a team and go for the objectives. That's basically what we have to say for you here on the payload.
Basically.
Yep. Wow.
I did want to mention out Lance in our chat, one of our supporters of the show. There's a really kind of small tip, but it can change a lot of the game. You can actually shoot through friendly Reinhardt shields, so keep that in mind when you're behind that Reinhardt. You can definitely shoot through it, and that's the reason it's there, so you can safely shoot from behind it. So I mean, that's just a small thing that you learn over time through playing the game. And the other one I can think of, and I mentioned this, I feel like, on another episode, but Junkrat, when he dies, he has those bombs that he leaves behind. You'll learn very quickly to stay away from him. That's just a really simple tip to keep in mind going forward in the beta and as we go to launch in the next couple weeks.
Actually, about that Junkrat passive, I remember when I first started the game, there were, you know, maybe on a few maps, there were turret nests from, you know, Bastion and Torbjorn and all of those. And I remember I would actually out of desperation, go suicide in them and take out those nests because of the grenades he drops at death. So that can be a weapon as well for Junkrat. Just, you know, just jump with the shift bomb into the thing. They will kill you, but you'll kill them back. So that's always good.
Yeah, most definitely. And while we still have you, Patrick, I'm curious, what has been your favorite hero as you've gotten to play through the beta so far?
Oh, wow. You know, it's I think that's the strength of this game, is that you end up liking a lot, if not most, if not all of the heroes. You know, initially there were a few I didn't really like, but as I've been playing, and I've played several hundred hours now, I ended up finding the fun and the joy in every one of them. So it's really hard to choose, but I think the ones I play the best would be Junkrat and Winston. I can wreck faces with Junkrat. It's disgusting. and Winston, I've sort of really enjoyed the post-nerf version with the more frequent jump, rocket jump thing. It's super fun to play aggressively, and it takes out so many of the squishies. Like if you have a Tracer or Genji annoying you to no end, you just switch to Winston. And they, you know, and they're done. They're gone. You're fine after that. So that's really good. I really enjoy those two. The ones I like the most in concept, though, you know, the ones I would like to be really good at and I'm only meh, are Genji. I can do some really mean kill streaks with Genji, but I'm not as good an aimer as I would like. But the fantasy of Genji is... It really speaks to me, you know, and I'm in Japan right now. So it's like I'm surrounded by this.
Yeah.
I think, oh, God, I don't know. I another one I really love the fantasy of is McCree. I play him, and every time he says justice ain't gonna dispense itself, I'm like, yeah, it is. I'm the one who's gonna dispense it. And then
it's
I go
me.
Out. And
I'm the justice.
Yeah, exactly. And then I go out of the spawn point and I try to shoot people, and I'm like, you know, I have potato aim, so anything I do is, you know, shooting other things I wasn't aiming at. Thankfully, he has the right click, so I can do stuff with that. But yeah, I love all of them, really. It's at this point, the only ones I, you know, it's a different shades of love is what I have for these characters. There isn't one that I don't love.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I mean, obviously, I think I've talked a lot about how Pharah is definitely my favorite from just playing so far. And I want to get good at Tracer. I'm really enjoying trying to learn Widowmaker. Maybe Kevin can help me out with that, because I know you really have attached yourself to playing Widowmaker. But
we're not supposed to talk about that. Yeah. Everyone hates Widowmaker.
That is true. But I think, unless we have any more ideas for new players, Kevin, did you have anything? Or
you know, all I was going to suggest was that if you're a listener of the show and there's a resource that you have found helpful as a newer player, as someone who's trying to learn the game, whether that's a website, the show, anything else that you might think is worthwhile to refer to for anybody who isn't going to get the chance to experience open beta for whatever reason, or just so that we have places to point those people back to, we'd love to credit you for your cool ideas. Email us, email the show, and tell us who it is that you've been following, what resources you're looking to that have helped you out, and we'll promote that stuff right here on the show so that we can help everybody find out all the little tips and tricks that people are slowly trying to track down across the course of the whole internet.
Hey, I have one, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
There's a YouTube channel called Cynical Nerds, and they've been doing guides for each character that are super well done. It's maybe not for the super beginner players. It's people who are checking out different characters that they might enjoy. And it's just a very quick guide detailing quite well each ability for every different character. And there's lots of little tidbits that I even me, after... thousands of hours, well, hundreds of hours of playing, I didn't realize. They have the numbers, the characteristics for each ability, and it's real well done. And they have all 21 characters up now. So Cynical Nerds on YouTube, it's pretty good.
Nice.
I have not heard of that, so I'll have to check that out. Anyways, I think that's pretty close to the end of the show. But before we close it out, make sure you're following Payload Podcast on Twitter. Check out, obviously, overwatch.blizzpro.com for all the resources you need for Overwatch. I mean, there's just a plethora of information there. If you're curious about the skins that are in the game, we have, I think, all of them up in posts now, so you can check out all the skins that are in the game. There's all sorts of strategies on playing heroes as well. And as always, thanks to Jake Butno, jakebutno.ca, for our music, which is incredible. Dreadscythe at scythedesigns.com for our overlay. As always, the email, payload@blizzpro.com. iTunes reviews help us out a ton, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcast. I'm at DJ Tyrant on Twitter. Kevin, where can everyone follow you?
They can come find me on Twitter is the best place. At Lack of Realism is my handle over there. I try to tweet a bunch of ridiculous, obscene things all throughout the week, and I would appreciate having you guys tag along for the ride with me. I'm also streaming on a pretty regular basis now. The new condo has much better fiber internet, so more nights a week, I'm trying to get up back on Twitch and show off how bad I am at these games that that I'm so married to. So you can find me playing Hearthstone, Heroes, Overwatch, all the good stuff over at twitch.tv/OdenTV, Odin with two N's.
Yeah, and myself, I'm actually going to be streaming more as we as the month and year goes on, as I am getting a new processor. I have a first-gen i7, so that desperately needs to be upgraded, so that'll be something coming in the next couple of weeks. Patrick, where can people follow you? What are you up to in the world of podcasting? I know you're involved in so many projects, but feel free to tell people what you're doing.
Sure. So I guess the listeners of this show might be interested in another Overwatch podcast. If that's the case, you can go follow The Overwatchers. It's an A-Move TV show, and I do it with my friend Garrett Winesroll, and we have Chan Man V on there as well. So you can find it at amove.tv. We have bi-monthly discussions about the game. And other than that, frenchspin.com is my personal podcast production site, and you'll find Pixels on there, which is a general gaming show. We discuss general gaming news and try to get behind the news and what they mean and what they imply and all of that. So that's at frenchspin.com, and all of this is you can find it also on Twitter. I'm not Patrick there. It's very easy to remember. It's not Patrick.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending your morning over there in Japan with us. Really appreciate you coming and hang out with us and letting
your
voice.
Thanks for having me. Super cool. Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Most definitely.
Thanks to you guys. It was great. As I mentioned, I've been listening to the show since the beginning, pretty much. I was scouring the iTunes store for Overwatch shows when, it was very sparse information. So I'm very glad I could be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that's going to be it for tonight for us. So thank you, everyone, for coming out in the Twitch channel and hanging out. Twitch.tv/BlizzPro every Thursday night, 7 o'clock Pacific. And the VOD always goes up on YouTube and through your favorite RSS reader. We will see you next week.
The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, Kevin on Twitter at Lack of Realism, and John on Twitter at Kicked Tripod.